Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
The Bible said in Romans chapter number 10, and I want to pick up in verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that verse a whole lot. Said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I want to preach to you on the thought of salvation for just a little while this morning. Father, I love you. I thank you, God, for being good to me. I thank you, God, for your mercy and your grace. I thank you, God, for loving me. I thank you, Lord, Father, for helping us today already. God, you know our need as we preach this morning. I pray, God, that you would remove from our mind, God, Father, anything that would hinder our thoughts today, Lord, and help us, God, through your word to give a clear plan of salvation this morning. God, we'll be careful to give you the thanks, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. And I want to talk to you just a little while on the thought of salvation this morning, or simply being saved, amen. Now, I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to go with me to Genesis chapter number 1 this morning. Genesis chapter number 1, and I'm going to read you a verse right here in Genesis chapter number 1, and then we're going to jump to John chapter number 3 and look at a few things in John chapter number 3. Look with me what your Bible said in Genesis chapter number 1. The Bible said in Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know what that verse means this morning? That verse means this right here. This is real deep. You're not going to have a Hebrew lexicon to understand it, okay? Because I'm going to make it real simple. Here's what that verse means. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know what? A lot of people want to take that verse and they want to spend their life trying to prove that verse wrong. But can I say something to you today? You will never be able to prove Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 1 wrong. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So the question is asked, who created God? God is the author of all creation. He always has been. He always will be. God had no creation, for he is the creator of all things. Can I get an amen? In the beginning, God. You say, well, you know, Brother Jonathan, I just don't know. Preacher, I just don't know about that. I just need some hard proof about that. Well, can I just say this to you? This morning, when I stepped outside of that room at the hospice, and I looked back over to the west and or the east and watched the sun as it began to rise over the skies and over the mountains, you know what I said in my heart? There is the proof that there is a God in heaven. When I watched the sun go down, there is a proof that there is a God in heaven. You want me to tell you the reason why? This book right here that I hold in my hand, hey, it said that would happen day in and day out. And you know what happens day in and day out, Brother Randy? The sun comes up and the sun goes down. You know what the Bible said it would happen, so therefore it happened. I'll say this to you, there has to be an element in faith, of faith when it comes to the Word of God. You say, preacher, I don't have faith. Can I say something? You've got faith in something. You say, I don't believe in anything. Oh, you believe in something. There has to be an element of faith in it this morning. I want you to go with me to John this morning. Go with me to John chapter number 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, then comes John chapter number 3. In John chapter number 3, Jesus is having a conversation. Let's look at a little bit of it. Jesus and Nicodemus has a talk about the new birth. Let's look at it this morning. John chapter number 3, verse number 1. The Bible said this, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know not that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles. We know that thou art a teacher, that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, watch this, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus looks at Nicodemus and he says, hey, look, the only way you'll ever go to heaven, the only way you'll ever see the kingdom of God, the only way you'll ever make it to heaven is you must be, and if it was my grandpa preaching this morning, he would say it this way, you must be born again. It wasn't born. My grandpa always said born again. And he had about three hacks in it. Jesus said, you must be born again. That's the way grandpa preached. And I remember first time I ever heard somebody hack, I tried to figure out what that word was. Or y'all ever heard anybody like that? Hey, I'm going to tell you right now. The Lord, it's good. And I thought, man, he's got something bad in his throat right there. Somebody get that man some water, a Mucinex. Somebody give me an amen right there. But he would say, you must be born again. And you know what God says through Jesus Christ? You must be born again. If you're going to go to heaven, you got to be saved. Look what he said in verse number 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And I just want to say something. I don't think Nicodemus is being a smart aleck right here. I think Nicodemus in all of his heart is seeking what the truth is. He finds the truth and you just have to read through scriptures to see whether or not you think he got saved. But look what he said in verse number 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. He tells him again. Now, a lot of people wants to take this verse of Scripture out of context and say you've got to be baptized to be saved. That is not what the verse of Scripture means. Has nothing to do with baptism. That water right there is the natural birth. That is what that's dealing with. Without going into great depths, we all know we're older people sitting in here today. We're not in youth church. He's dealing with the natural birth. Matter of fact, what did he say in the next verse? That which is what? Born of the flesh is flesh. He's dealing with the natural birth. And he says this, number one, you got to be born by man. In other words, there was a day, July the 27th, write that down in your little black book, 1978, I was born into this world by my mother. But July the 20th, 1994, I was born again. I didn't re-enter into my mother's womb, but I was dead in trespassings of sin. I realized I was lost and on the road to hell, and I asked the Lord to come into my heart and save me. And you know what he did? He did it, amen. Let's read on what the Bible said. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, ye have believed not. How shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that cometh down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses was, lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. The Bible said in verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, boy, isn't this good? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. A lot of people says, well, God is going to send me to hell. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You say, preacher, what are you saying to us this morning? Here's what I'm saying to you. Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born again. Jesus said the only way we'd ever enter into heaven is by being saved. Who saves us? God saves us. Look what your Bible said in verse number 13 of Romans chapter number 10. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what? If time would permit us, we could go back just a few verses or a few chapters here in Romans, and we can talk about how by one man sin entered into the world, and so that death hath passed upon all men. For all have sin. We can go back to Genesis chapter number 3, Brother Tim, when sin entered into the world. Adam and Eve sinned for the first time. And you know what the ultimate punishment for sin is? For the wages of sin is what? Death. But, I'm glad it did not end there, church. Because if it would have ended there, we would all be condemned to hell today. Because every one of us is sinners. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What was the gift of God? I just read it to you in John chapter number 3. You say, well, preacher, how do I get saved? How do I get saved? Well, verse 13 tells us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can I show you four things real quick? And I'm watching the time. Number one, stay with me. Number one, I see God made it, dealing with salvation. God made salvation for everyone. For everyone. The Bible said this, for, what's the next word in verse number 13 of Romans chapter number 10? For, okay, these three people got it, so let's try it again, or we'll be here till 12:30. For? Okay, y'all help me, and then they can help me. For? Let's try it one more time. All right, for? Oh, they got bigger mouths than y'all do. You know what that word whosoever means when you look it up? There's about four different answers right there, and every one of them was right. All. Everybody, whosoever, y'all, you with me? Whosoever, God made salvation for everyone. There is a movement going around today, and it's been around for years. If you want the technical term for it, it's called Calvinism. And here's simply what it is. They believe that there is only an elect few that can get saved. And no matter what they do, they'll get saved and they'll go to heaven. Can I say something about that? Can I just put it real simple? That's hogwash. If I believed that, I promise you that I would not be trying my best to live my life pleasing to the Lord, because it's not always easy. Now somebody give me an amen and help me this morning, we'll get done. It's not always easy. It's not always easy to bite my tongue and to act like a Christian. Yesterday, there was a few times I had a really hard time with that. And I did again this morning. But can I tell you something? I don't do that to get to heaven. I do that because I'm going to heaven. I do that because I fell into whosoever, and there was a day that I was saved and God changed my life. Salvation is for whosoever this morning. So, preacher, you don't know where I've been. I don't have to know where you've been. So, preacher, you don't know the life that I've lived. I don't have to know the life that you've lived. You say, preacher, you just don't know how deep in sin I was. I don't have to know how deep in sin you was. I know how great a God we've got and how powerful of Christ that we've got. And I know that God can save you. Amen. It's for everybody today. It's for the God made salvation for everyone. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That what? Whosoever believeth in Him. Whosoever believeth in Him. You say, well, preacher, you know what? This person's done this and I've done this. And you know what? I can understand why God would save this one, but God wouldn't save me. Hear me and hear me well. Sin, sin. A little white lie is the same thing as a murder. Are you hearing me this morning? Sin is sin. And all of us was born, not has become sinners. We was born sinners. But salvation is for everybody. I see this, number one, God made it for everybody. But can I say this to you this morning? Number two, God made it easy. What did the Bible say? For whosoever, what's the next two words? Shall call. Shall call. Shall call. I don't have my phone. Brother Tim, you have your phone? Atta boy, way to bring it in church. You got the ringer off, don't you?
Yeah.
Are you on call from a hospital?
No.
Okay. Oh, you don't have to unlock it. I'm not worried about that. I can dial 911 without it unlocked. Let me see that just a second. We got an emergency up here. Emergency. Oh, it did come up. I wonder what they'd say, Brother Brent. Surrey County 911, what is your emergency? Congratulations. Y'all may not know this, but Brother Brent got promoted to assistant director of 911 in our county. That's big 1101 sitting back there this morning. See, call them 1101. Watch this. You ever picked up the phone and called somebody? For the biggest part of the time, it's pretty simple. Sometimes your phone don't work right and you want to throw it out the window. But you know what we do, Brother Matthew? We just pick up our phone. We dial them. Let me get that off of emergency before we do call 911. But we pick up our phone. We dial the number. And they say hello. You know what I did this morning? I left the hospice house. And after I left the hospice house, I picked up my phone. I didn't pick up my phone. I said, hey, Siri, call Dad. Because you're not supposed to pick up your phone while you're driving, okay? Y'all with me this morning? Somebody say amen. There ain't nobody. You bunch of heathens. You wasn't going to say amen to Dad. Hey, Siri, call Dad. And you know what happened? Dad was in Spruce Pine, North Carolina. I don't know if y'all know where that's at, but it's in the boondocks. But he was in Spruce Pine, North Carolina. And you know what happened? Dad said, what do you want? Well, did you sleep good? All right. Okay, I'll talk to you later. I'll call you back after a while. Okay. Salvation is as simple as picking up the phone and calling somebody. We have, here you go, Brother Tim. We have allowed preachers, I can talk about them because I am one. We have allowed preachers, we have allowed seminaries, we've allowed everybody, it seems anymore, to make salvation so difficult. But I want you to hear me, and I want you to hear me well this morning. Based on the authority of God's Word, salvation is easy this morning. You know what He said? Shall call. Shall call. Christ made it. God made it for everyone. But then God made it easy. You say, well, why did He make it so easy? Because He knew you was going to need it. And if it was hard, there's a lot of us sitting in here that would miss out on it. Now somebody say amen right there.
He knew there's a bunch of old rednecks up here in Surrey County that couldn't understand a lot of things. So you know what he said? All you got to do is call me and I'll be there. It's easy this morning. Salvation is easy. It's not in the way I pray. It's not in the way I walk down the aisle. It's not in if I walk down the aisle. Somebody say amen right there. It's not in if I do it at the church house. I say this a lot of times. Brother Bailey's out in youth church this morning. But y'all was going up Interstate 40, wasn't you? He was. I thought y'all was with him. Nope, y'all wasn't with him. Anyway, he was going up Interstate 40. And got saved going up the road. Scott Welch, pastor of Sterners Creek Baptist Church, I've heard him testify numerous times about being in the back seat of a Honda Accord going up the road the day he got saved. I was in a Sunday school class. I've heard other testimonies. It's not about where you're at. It's not about what time of day it is. It's about simply recognizing that you're lost and on the road to hell and calling on a God and asking Him to save you. God made it for everybody. God made it easy. Watch this. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. God made it exclusive. We're not getting to heaven any other way but through Christ. He said, I, John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me but by Him. You know what He's saying this morning? He's saying Christ is it. There's no other way. There's no other way. Brother Josh, if we make it to heaven, we'll go through the blood of Jesus Christ. Miss Stephanie, if we make it to heaven, we'll go through Christ. We'll go no other way. He made it exclusive to His Son. We said, preacher, I don't know about that. Well, you know what I do? Because I've read this book, and I know the way He changed my life. I know what He's not only done in my life, I know what He is doing in my life. I promise you, if yesterday and today a couple times had been before I was saved, things would have been a whole lot different. And before you speculate anything, it was nothing to do with the church, okay? So just get your mind out of that and come back to church and let's go to church. Because some of y'all are trying to figure out who I'm mad at in the church this morning and who said, it's Tim, okay? He made it exclusive to Him. There's no other way that we're going to get to heaven, church. Said, preacher, I'm going to come to church every time the doors is open. I hope you do. Said, preacher, I'm going to give my tithes and offerings. I really hope you do, because we're talking right now, and hopefully this week we'll have a size of a building that we need to start preparing towards, and I'm really, really praying hard about a new auditorium. Hopefully, I'm praying that, and I'm just going to go ahead and throw, I'm praying that over the next year God will probably, and I hope He does, let us break ground on a new auditorium. But you know what? We need your tithe, so come every time and put your tithe in. But that's not going to get you to heaven. That's not going to get us there. You say, I believe in being good to my neighbor. I do too. I sure do. I believe in trying my best to help people. I love it. Matter of fact, not long ago, I told the girls, they got up one morning and they said, what are we going to do today? I said, we're going to help our neighbor. And they said, we're going to help our neighbor. I said, yeah. I said, there's a feller a few miles away from here, and he needs some help. And I said, so what we're going to do is we're going to go over there, and we're going to help him today. And Olivia said, well, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to bush hog, and we're going to weed eat, and we're going to spray Roundup. And she said, what are we going to spray Roundup off of? I said, the golf cart. She said, I'm driving. I said, that's fine. I believe in helping your neighbor. You know what? If you got a need after service today, you let me know and I'll do everything in my power to help you. I promise you that, and you know that. But that's not the reason I'm going to heaven, church. I believe in reading my Bible. I believe in studying my Bible. I believe in preaching. That's what God's called me to do. But that's not why I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven today because salvation is exclusively through Jesus. And I'll go through Him. Watch this in closing. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God made it for everyone. God made it easy. God made it exclusive. But God made it effective. You know what he said? They shall be saved. You know what's after that word saved? A period. You know what that means? It means this thing ain't open for discussion. He said, if you'll do what I told you to do, I'll save you. On our tracks, come start playing softly, if you will. On our tracks and the brochures from our church, the back of it says the ABCs of salvation sometimes. Acknowledge that you're a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Believe that God can save you. You got to have faith in Him. You got to have faith in Him. And confess your sins and call on Him and ask Him to save you. I remember, I've given this illustration before, but Lord really, and I've not thought about it in years, but the Lord really put it on my heart just a second ago. I remember years ago, I was working with Rock of Ages Prison Ministries. And man, I loved it. Those 5 years, Leslie and I traveled all over the United States and worked with juvenile delinquents. And man, I loved it. I loved it. And I enjoyed working with those young people. And I was able, privileged to share the gospel on death row in several different states. And for 5 years, we was in prison. And worked in several women's prisons. Leslie and I would go in and we'd do revival services at night. And Leslie would preach and I would sing. And no, I'm just picking. But I loved it. But I'll never forget. I was in an adult prison. If I'm not mistaken, it was Kentucky State Penitentiary, the hardest prison that I've ever worked in. Matter of fact, in the late 80s, it was nicknamed the Bloody Prison. And I've got a book. It's called The Castle. I've got a book that deals with Kentucky State Penitentiary. We was on the yard, and I was witnessing to a guy on the yard, and he began to talk to me. He said, "There's no God." And I said, "Well, I believe there is." And he said, "Why do you believe there is?" And we went back and forth, not arguing, but just a good civil discussion, if you want to put it that way. And here's what he said. He said, "You know what?" He said, "You're giving your life. You're giving your life for Christ, aren't you?" He said, "You're a young man." He said, "You could be making a whole lot more money than you're making as a missionary, I'm sure." And I said, "You're right." He asked me what I'd done before I went into missions, and I told him. I told him what Miss Leslie done. We was both in leadership positions at our job and was making good money. I said, "But this is what God called me to do." He said, "Do you not realize what all you're missing out on in this life?" And I looked at him and I said, "If anybody's missing out on anything, I'm going outside to eat and you eating in here tonight." I said, "So probably you're the one missing out on some things and not me." And he just kindly hung his head down. And he said, "I just don't know if it's all real or not." And I looked at him and here's what I said. I said, "If I am wrong," but I'm not. "But if I am wrong, I'm going to leave this facility here in just a few minutes. I'm going to go to a nice restaurant. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to eat. I'm going to go take a shower in private. I'm going to lay down in private and go to bed. And come tomorrow, I'm going to get up and I'm going to drive 9 hours back home to a beautiful wife in a little white farmhouse in the middle of nowhere. And I'm going to sit on the front porch and we're going to talk about what's happened in this meeting. I said, if the Lord blesses me in time, I'm going to have children. And I'm going to continue to live for Him. I'm going to continue to devote my life to Christ and do everything that I can do for Him. And if I am wrong, then what have I lost? I'm loving life, man. I mean it, Brother Tim. I'm living my best life right now. I wouldn't trade it with nobody. I would not, Brother Josh, I wouldn't trade it with nobody. God knows my heart about that." And I said, "On the other hand, you've lived a complete opposite life. And look where it's got you." I said, "Now that's if I'm wrong." He looked at me. I said, but if I'm right, then everything that I've done, and I don't do it for this, but everything that I've done for the Lord, I'm going to receive a crown of glory one day when I get to heaven. And I'm going to be able to take that crown of glory and put it back at the feet of the darling Lamb of God that gave His life for me to live. The one that died so I could live. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm still enjoying life. And if I'm right and you're wrong, there is a God, there is a heaven, there is a hell, then, sir, you've got hell to worry about. I didn't say it as a slang word. I said it as a literal word. You've got hell to worry about. That man put his head down and began to cry, and I was able to take my Bible and show him these verses I just showed you today and watched him ask the Lord to forgive him of his sins and to come into his heart and take him. You say, you're wrong, preacher. You're wrong. There's a whole lot on stake right there. What if I'm right? I think I got more to back up. You tell me what else. You tell me what else. I know some of you sitting here. But Josh, I'm not being ugly. I'm just being honest. You tell me what else will take the dope away from somebody and a life of sin away from somebody and put them sitting on the church pew, taking up the offering, laughing, and cutting up in the house of God. Miss Kayla, you give your testimony as public yesterday, so I'm going to talk about it a little bit this morning. You tell me what else will take depression away, alcohol away, drinking yourself to sleep, cutting yourself, living a life of misery. You tell me what else will take that away and put you in the house of God clothed in your right mind with a Bible in your hand singing the praises of God. I tell you what it is, that there is a God in heaven this morning, and He loves you and He loves your life. He loves you so much that He gave His Son to die for you so you don't have to die and go to hell. Salvation this morning, it's real easy. It's for everyone, but it's exclusively through Him. And I promise you, when we go to Him and ask Him to forgive us of our sins, He's standing there waiting with an open arm. I'll ask you this question in closing. You know what He said to Nicodemus? You must be born again. Are you saved? This morning, I was reminded twice already this morning. You know what that Bible right there said? It's appointed unto man once to die. I stood at the hospice house and watched it happen this morning. I left the hospice house. We got punched out on a call that I was driving right by. I ended up stopping at it. We ended up working a code there and watching it happen again right there. That Bible proved itself true. It's appointed unto man once to die. We're going to face it one day. And when you do, happens to young and old. Happens to young and old. I don't even want to start telling you about the past 3.5 months, Brother Tim, what all I've seen. 17 years old, a 19-year-old. You know what he said? You must be born again. And I'm not trying to drag us out this morning. I'm just trying to obey the Lord. If you're not saved, you better hit an altar. You better talk to the Lord. You can do it sitting in your pew. You can do it in an altar. You can do it riding down the road. But you better make things right with God, or you're going to die and you're going to go to hell one day.